Yes, we had it all with draws after the siren goals. The Saints escape out west. The Blues pile on 17 goals. Is their dream still alive? Welcome to the Footy Podcast. I'm Will Hogan. Today on the show, we talk Stuart Dew's future at the Suns, the left field option who could join the Pies, and we take a walk down Media Street with Scott Gallen. But let's get into it now with John Ralph.
Well, welcome, Ralphie. How are you going?
Fantastic.
Now, for the second year in a row, Stuart Dew is under immense pressure. What's your understanding of the situation? Is he currently, as we sit, fighting for his job?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he's got 8 rounds to save his job. I don't know that he's been in the minds of the Gold Coast hierarchy sacked yet, though. Now, Caro said last night that, you know, they're thinking about whether he'd last out the month, and potentially Stephen King would be a caretaker coach. I'm sure I spoke to a lot of the same people that Caro did last night. You know, maybe some people had a more negative attitude of Dew, but I still feel, I think this is a club that's made a shift in the last 3 weeks, that they keep getting beaten heavily by sides including Carlton and clearly by Collingwood. Not the first time that Collingwood has beaten up this year. I think the feeling is, though, that when they re-signed him last year, and we revealed that one in June last year, myself and Macca, that they felt like they were in a finals winning position this year.
Yeah.
It really hasn't happened yet. And more to the point, their losses, their big losses, are more significant. So they've lost 5 games by 7 goals or more. So that's a big step backwards. Yes, in the conditions that absolutely helped them out in Darwin, able to beat Western Bulldogs and Adelaide, and they were fantastic wins. But this is a club that is still a drain in the competition, still losing $25 million or handed $25 million a year by the AFL. With the current list they have, it's probably their last best chance to absolutely be a premiership force at some stage. So I think the decision for them is pretty simple in the end. Damien Hardwick screaming and shouting, you know, in his podcast interview, "Yes, I want to coach." And I think all of us would say that if this is a team that wins 10 or 11 wins this year, by the end of the year, they'll have a discussion point. Is it Damien Hardwick or is it Stuart Dew? It's just really hard to make the case that Stuart Dew is a better option next year than Damien Hardwick, the 3-time winning premiership coach. They don't really care about how many bums on seats he would put on, what do we call it now? The new Metro.
Heritage Bank Arena.
But they just know that he is a better chance to play finals and to stop this club being a laughing stock than Stuart Dew. And I think that's the decision they will very likely make. But we've got 8 games to go.
That's it.
And if he drags them through to finals with an extraordinary performance, you can't sack him.
And I don't like to deal with, you know, in hypotheticals and what ifs, yep. But what if Gold Coast beat Port this week? Wouldn't it just be the most oddest thing, yeah, when you've got a coach clearly under pressure and has been told that his job is as good as gone, mm-hmm, within a month,
yep,
but they beat the top of the ladder team this week? Wouldn't that just be weird?
Yeah, and that's why Gold Coast is frustrated by riding the roller coaster and frustrated by every time they lose, they feel like their coach is under scrutiny. And yet the results have to dictate, you know, what you do, your decisions ahead. So here's the facts. Dewey feels like maybe that the support from the club's just shifted away from him. I think Dewey feels like he felt like potentially last year there was a meeting between Tony Cochran and Alistair Clarkson, you know, so he's like, oh, hang on, you know, I win a premiership with Clarko and then Clarko's trying to undercut me. Gold Coast yesterday adamant that meeting didn't take place. I'm sure there might have been some phone calls from Clarko's management, you know, would this job be available? But Gold Coast feels like we stood by him. When everyone felt we weren't going to, we signed him up for 2 more years. The problem with this contract is that it's a normal contract. What would he be on? $600,000?
Yeah, about that.
All of the clubs are assisted. So that means that, you know, they get more money from the AFL than the base arrangement. It means that you've got to basically limit your coaching payout clause to about 6 months. So $300,000, a payout, he's not going to keep him there, you know.
And if Damien Hardwick wasn't available, do, yep, you think we'd be having as such, you know, hard discussions about where Gold Coast and Dew are at?
No, but he absolutely is available. Mm. So the feeling from the Hardwick camp yesterday was that, well, he wasn't singing for his supper. He wasn't saying, I want a coach. He just answered a question, you know, really honestly, which is what Dimmer does. It was the throwaway line. But if you're looking for the deniability, he's overseas for the next 7 weeks. He can say, oh, you know, I'm just over there with my partner and I'm not trying to steal anyone's job. And, of course, we played in the 2004 premiership together. But, you know, but absolutely it allows him the fact to have negotiations behind the scenes if that's what happens with his manager, Paul Connors. He gets back, by that stage, we'll know whether Stuart Dew is going to coach or not. And then lo and behold, here I am, the next coach of Gold Coast. You know, it's very convenient for Damien Hardwick. If you look at their draw, so you think they probably lose against Port Adelaide. And then you've got St Kilda, GWS, Brisbane, Adelaide, Sydney, Carlton, North Melbourne. North Melbourne's the only easy beat amongst them. You know, they'd have to do something extraordinary, you know. Five of the next eight to play finals. We don't think that's going to happen.
No.
So, you know, Caro thought that Dewey would be sacked in 2021. She thought he'd be sacked last year. She probably gets her man at some stage. I just think there is still a fraction of wiggle room there, you know, as much as there might be some people at that football club that think, not sure about Dewey. I don't know that they've actually made the decision that they will sack him yet.
Now, just changing pace slightly. Well, not really, because Collingwood, they did destroy Gold Coast on the weekend. Yeah. And you wrote a column in the Wreck-It Ralph on Monday in the Herald Sun Tuesday paper. The Pies, they're a destination location. We've had a little bit of that recently, but what has changed now, do you think, and why are they a target for players like Lockie Whitfield potentially?
Well, they've certainly, you know, realigned their salary cap position, and Graham Wright's been a master of that. And I think all of us, you know, I mean, how many opinion columns, you know, what are they doing getting rid of Brodie Grundy? It's been a masterstroke. So they've realigned that position. They think they're a destination club now because they're just so fun to play for. So, look, the Lockie Whitfield situation is this. He's on $900,000 a year average till, I think it's 2027. The next 2 years are really big, maybe as much as $1.2 million. So clubs are asking, and then they're realising that the money situation probably doesn't work for him. I think Whitfield, who knows, whether he's expressed that he'd like to be at Collingwood or just Collingwood's asked about him, I think the feeling is that, you know, a steel side bottom got another year left.
Yep.
And then maybe, you know, Oleg Markov, what a great game on the weekend. But you're certainly thinking, if Nick Dacos becomes a bona fide midfielder, do you need another elite distributor there, whether it's halfback or wing? I don't think it works just from a cash point of view. So I think that contract has been structured that if any of that back-ended nature of it, if he was to be traded, then GWS would be on the hook for that. But it's still pretty hard for clubs to think $900,000 for Lockie Whitfield. I think Gold Coast is another one of the clubs that has asked about him.
Really?
But probably same thing. Geez, 900 grand. You know, would love that positional type. It shows that Gold Coast thinks that they're, you know, getting closer to that finals picture and a premiership build. But anyway, I just don't see a situation in which GWS would say, okay, we'll allow him to go for a reasonable pick, which helps us with their cap picture, but we'll tip in 500 grand. I mean, imagine the PR value of that. He's a good player. He's in the peak of his career. He's playing good but not great football. So anyway, clubs are asking about him. I still think it's a lot of things would have to happen for him to move on.
So possible but unlikely.
Yeah, but the fact that clubs are kicking his tyres means that, and the GWS are saying no, but they're not saying absolutely no. They're just saying we're happy to have him here. Yeah, like there's a lot of crazy things are going to happen. A lot of clubs with big cap space as well. So yeah, I think it's interesting.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast A Life in Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life in Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, another one you want to put on the agenda is the game day experience. Yeah. Talk us through what you want to see the AFL do.
Now, did you get Taylor Swift tickets?
No, I didn't. Impossible. I tried.
How many hours do you think you tried?
Oh, way too many.
So I reckon I tried for 4 hours.
Yeah, I was about on both days.
Yep. 10 and 12. Combined. 10 and 12-year-old kids. Yep. You know, and my wife said, we're going. And I'm like, well, Taylor Swift's good, but, you know, my son's more of an Ariana Grande.
Really?
Fan. Yep. Is that Ariana Grande?
Yep. Anyway, spot on.
The point is, I had a lot of think time and I thought to myself, why are we potentially spending $1,600 that we can't afford on Taylor Swift? Because it's an experience. Because we were there. Because we saw it. Because we got to Instagram it. My son gets to Snapchat it. And I thought to myself, what's the AFL experience like? Because there are times when I've taken the kids on a Sunday afternoon to Marvel and it's a bit cold and the Pies are expensive and, you know, Richmond's got smashed. And I think, well, that was okay, but not great. Whereas Taylor's an experience. So what's the AFL and what's Andrew Dillon going to do to build the match day experience? We're at Dreamtime at the G. The kids got to see an extraordinary visual, light show, you know, amazing cultural stuff.
Yep.
And even though Richmond got rolled by Essendon in the last kick of the day, they enjoyed the experience.
Okay.
Is the AFL experience good enough even when your team gets rolled, and what can we do to improve it?
But isn't it the game that is the experience? So, you know, you can have the things outside the game,
yeah.
but people go to watch the football and whatever is around it is just sort of an add-on.
An accoutrement.
So how do you, like the show with Taylor is a singing and a songs, and there's only one of it. There's yep. a lot of football games. Yep. So it is hard to compare a Taylor Swift concert to how many football games are there in a year.
Yep.
So how is it possible to, you know, match that from a entertainment value?
Well, because you and I love football.
Mm.
Whereas our kids go and they get bored halfway through the second quarter and, you know, we've already spent $25 on chips and a Gatorade and whatever it might be. So and it's not blaring music
yeah.
between goals, and it's not blaring music beforehand. But whether it is, you know, whether you know, if it's a curtain raiser,
yeah,
you know, I know we, there are reasons why we can't have every curtain raiser. You know, whether there is a, you know, music stuff for the big games,
yeah.
Outside, et cetera.
So you know. more blockbusters, is that the answer?
Well, you can only have a certain amount of blockbusters.
That's it.
Because it dictates.
And if you do have more, you know, the value of the other blockbusters disintegrates
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah, but through finals, you know, and we have those interactive sites. You know, it's for the kids, so it doesn't have to be Taylor Swift and doesn't yeah. have to be loud music, but. I just think kids these days, like for you and I, you've got accreditation or I'm an MCC member, an AFL member.
Yep.
You can get in for free. If the game's ordinary, you had a few pots at the Frank Graysmith and you wander out and et cetera. Kids want more than that these days. So I think it's a big challenge for the AFL coming forward. I haven't got all the answers about it, but I think it's something they've got to confront because right now the experience on your couch with a, you know, a couple of home brews or whatever it might be, or your IPAs. What are you drinking these days, Will?
You know, just your stock standard Carlton what? Draft.
Okay, well, you're an old school man.
Yeah.
The experience there is pretty amazing. For you and I, loving footy, if I go to a game of footy on a Saturday, it's a 5 or 6 hour experience. I miss the other games, got to watch them on replay.
Yeah.
We're not everyone because we watch more football. But, yeah, the game day experience has got to be bloody good in the next 10 years because otherwise kids are like, well, Saturday afternoon, I can watch the NBA game, I can watch whatever it is, I can get on YouTube. Let's not take the fans for granted.
And is the AFL worried about that, about other interests and other entertainment products and other viewings? Like, are they putting money into trying to figure out what to do?
I think it's always, you know, it's Carly Rogers is always working through it.
Yeah.
But, you know, kids want to watch esports. They want to watch Premier League. They want to watch Champions League. I think that the AFL, the population's growing, and so the figures, you know, the AFL still puts out those press releases every 3 weeks. We've got a record ratings, record attendances. So the attendances are still good. And Collingwood, as we talked about, you know, they are an experience right now.
Mm.
Maybe some of that is just because that they're
Exciting footy.
They play exciting football, and Collingwood has garnered this interest in we're Collingwood fans together. Mm. We get the chant going. We back in our players, which is bloody good to watch right now. But if you are that team right now, like North Melbourne, and you're going to watch, and there's 22,000 at Marvel Stadium, it's a bit cold.
Mm.
So Marvel Stadium's a big watch as well. So what are they going to do with that $300 million? To make it an entertainment precinct, rather than just going there and feeling like you had to spend $30 on parking and $50 on food, and we got beaten by 80 points again. I think it's something for those clubs that are not Collingwood to keep a really good eye on.
And so just lastly on that, does it come to the players, so the younger players coming through? I noticed Harley Reid has 19,000 followers on Instagram already.
Yep.
Is it their duty to try and promote the game to people their age and in their generation?
Yeah, potentially. And I think that's why the AFL's a good look at the square with ambassadorships as well. Fans want the inner sanctum moment, don't they?
Yeah.
So make it authentic. Make it, you know, the Snapchat that we saw with the Port Adelaide boys post-match.
Yeah.
Let's not ridicule those moments because that's what the kids want to see.
Yeah.
I think clubs are getting better and better, and certainly Collingwood as well. And that's why, you know, we're seeing the debut stuff. As the players call their parents. We saw it
with the Richmond boys,
Jacob Bauer and Sam Banks yesterday. But it's that kind of stuff. And Collingwood do it so well. It's not just a game day experience. It's us feeling we're part of it. You might only be a 3-game member for $50, but we're part of a group. We're part of a tribe. And that stuff is so experienced. And Collingwood's doing that better than anyone right now.
Ralphie, I think a few people will resonate with you. I love it. Thanks. See you next week.
Cheers.
Now it's time to take a walk down Media Street.
G'day, it's Jonathan Brown, the host of Brownie's Podcast. Along with my boys Dino and Campbell Brown, we give you the world's loosest podcast.
How did you get locked up again?
Oh, I was set up by the Queensland coppers.
This Bazball has been crazy.
What the
Bazball?
Twiggy cash.
Rubber bullets next time we go to war. God forbid someone gets hurt.
Oh, there it is.
No, no. Ask your smart speaker to play Brownie's Podcast or search for Brownie's Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast.
With Scott Gullen. Scott, how are you going?
Very well, William.
It's been a little bit of a break. I don't know where you've been. You haven't been overseas like One of the other journalists?
I'm one of the few who's been here on the tools. You know, you gallivant around Australia, others gallivant around Europe. I'm just here just churning it out.
Oh, I took 2 days off, but others like Glenn McFarlane, we'll Michael Warner, they're taking a little bit longer. Caro goes to Amsterdam. Is time for journalists, you know, to have a bit of a break?
Well, for some, but others just keep churning
you
through.
You just keep making the
phone
calls.
Love of the paper, wanting to get it out.
Yeah, no, it's great. Anyway, it's good to have you back on the podcast.
Thank you, Will.
It has been a while. And I do, one topic that got a little bit lost in the last few weeks was this, you know, the Channel 7 footy show coming back for finals. Can you tell us some more about what's going to happen there?
Yeah, I think there's internal talk that, yeah, they've been criticised, and particularly by the AFL, for not doing enough. They've only got that funny show with Sam
the
Peng
front
and
bar,
Mick Foley,
that's a great show.
The great show. That's really their only product away from game day. Yeah. So since Talking Footy disappeared when COVID hit, they haven't had anything there. So there was a push to have something lead up in the finals. And then that push we need something big, someone new. Yeah. And obviously Nick Riewoldt, as we know, last year when he shocked exit from Fox, Channel 7 were into him big time. And they were floating a carrot about, because Nick went on MasterChef. Yes. He wants to be more than just a footy commentator.
Yeah,
he wants
ambassador of Cobram State.
Correct. So he's the lifestyle, on travel shows, make spaghetti and do. So Channel 7 had it all laid out. And then, as we know, he's gone to America with his family, which surprised everyone. But now there's a sense, all right, if we're going to do this show, maybe if we get him back earlier, sort of ease him into, here's Nick Riewoldt, our man. And as you know, Nick's kept up with the AFL. He does a podcast weekly. Yep. He knows what's going on. He was back here recently briefly. So I think there's a little bit to play out. His manager, Tom Petroro, has been overseas with everyone else. He's back now. I'd suspect, ideally, they'd want Nick. And it'd be great. Nick does a month of finals as Channel 7's man, and then you reload and, you know, address it all up for next season. So that's on their whiteboard, whether they can pull it off. Be interesting.
The only query is Fox, that was still confident of trying to get Nick back. Is that waned?
I think it has. Yep. I think they understood why he went there, and now things move on. They've found their groove, you know, on the couch. So it's sort of, it could be one Riewoldt out, one Riewoldt in. Jack is trying to get a gig there. He's done everything he needed to do. He cost a lot less too, just quietly. So Nick's wage was big. Understandably, he was one of the main stars. So I think Fox has sort of behind the scenes accepted, Nick's coming back, but it won't be with us.
Now, Nick Riewoldt, where did you have him in your infamous 2021 Media Top 50?
He
was up there.
He was high up. No, I rated.
And understandably. So Seven, you know, they will be using him as a big marquee signing.
Well, remember last year, you know, Wayne Carey just disappeared off Friday nights. Yep. Now Daisy Pearce, whose star was there, but now because of her work at Geelong, it seems to be a little bit waning because she can't commit to. So they're begging for a new face and a superstar. Like Luke Hodge has sort of done that role as the new fresh face. But now he's a couple of years in. They're gagging to go, bang, he's our big hitter.
Now, this is a question without notice, but in America, ESPN is making wholesale changes to their lineup. Jeff Van Gundy's been gone from the NBA. Lots of different sports. They're just cutting the top-end talent. Do you see that happening from a network point of view in Australia, or is it a different market?
We're very slow to do that. I mean, they eased Wayne Carey out when... Yeah, there was a calls for him to go a lot earlier. Unfortunately, I'd love it. I'd love it. If I was running it, I'd go, yeah, you've been great. Right, fresh face, bang. But there's tradition. They feel obligated. Yep. And they just stick to the same, which at least Riewoldt coming to Seven would give it a bit of something else. But I would love to see the chopping and changing and let's make big cuts here and there.
Yeah, I think Media Trade Week would be amazing.
It'd be sensational.
So, Scott? Channel 7 show,
we'll keep on it. Stay tuned. Where are we in July? You'd think by the end of this month they'd have to have some sort of idea.
Okay. And as always, Media Street's 12 p.m. Wednesday.
Yes.
Do you have a little teaser?
A serial offender, a bit of a pest, made an unexpected appearance on radio, but we'll reveal more at midday on Wednesday.
Yes, I'm very intrigued.
Thank you, Will.
Scott, as always, thank you. Well, that'll probably do it for today's show. Thanks again to our guests, John Ralph and Scott Gullen. I'm Will Hogan, and I'll be back next week. But as always, head to the Herald Sun website for all your latest footy coverage throughout the week, with Media Street at 12 p.m. Wednesday, Mick McGuan's analysis 12 p.m. Thursday, before all the live football coverage from Thursday to Sunday, and don't forget Mark Robinson's tackle Sunday night at 6 p.m.